This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Station.
And Mike Vrabel, they take their step. They will clinch the East if the Bills lose or tie the Eagles coming up next on Fox. The last team to go from a 13-loss season to a 13-win season, the 1999 Indianapolis Colts in Peyton Manning's second year. Mike Vrabel takes a 13-loss team and turns them into a 13-win team.
Focus on Miami, playing football. Focus on Miami, playing football. We're focused on Miami to play football. Going to practice, play football. We're all focused on Miami, the next opponent. We're focused on Miami, play football. Yeah, we focus on football, play for Miami. Get ready for Miami, play football.
Have you and Christian talked or texted?
Christian is my post teammate, you know, but talk about what per se.
Christian Barmore, you and he both dealing with some stuff off the field. I mean, have you talked?
Is that a football question? Try not to be rude. I said it in the beginning.
I hear you.
Time now for WEEI Football Sunday with Christian Arcan, Ted Johnson, Megan Audelini, and Chris Scheim on WEEI.
And good morning for the final time here this regular season. It is Football Sunday on WEEI. Christian Arcan, Teddy J, Scheim time, Mego, all here with you in week 17, week 18, technically, with the bye weeks and all of that. As what was a very smooth season for the New England Patriots has now hit some rough patches here in these last couple of weeks. Injuries, off-the-field scandals, and so forth, as New England looks to finish strong here in a 425 matchup at home against the Miami Dolphins. Hi, everybody. How are we doing today, by the way?
What's up? Happy New Year, kid.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy 2026 to all of you. We've had a lot go down here. Mego, I know you've been talking about this stuff all week, so we'll get to your thoughts on it right away, and let's just go with it right now. The Patriots locker room and the culture that has been such an important part of what's made this team so good and so special and so much fun. I mean, it's been a really fun season up until really these last couple of weeks with the injuries and now with this. Is the locker room culture, in your opinion, equipped to handle this type of thing? Is that a locker room that's going to be able to continue to play in the face of a real leader on their offense there in Steph Diggs and a guy in Barmore who's one of the highest paid guys on the team, right up there?
He's the highest.
And now here they are both facing these horrible accusations and allegations. Is this locker room going to be able to, and is it even, am I even barking up the wrong tree asking about this? Like, well, is the locker room equipped for it?
I don't know whether you want to look at the locker room as like one whole organism,
right?
Because the thing that I think about overall when it comes to the intangibles about this team and what this situation could do to the intangible side, the relationships within the team and the distraction level of it, is that with Stephon Diggs in particular, we've been saying all season he's the standard setter for the wide receiver room. And so if something is, this isn't the first distraction that he's had while he's been here that's off field. But I do wonder, like, if it throws him off of his game, if it individually impacts him to a point where we haven't seen it recently, he's been hyper productive, but where his production, his focus level, everything is affected by these off-field allegations, then I do think that has a direct impact on the wide receiver room in the offense. And I don't know how you say it doesn't.
I think he's the captain of this offense, really.
Wide receivers really follow Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
And so I've heard some other people who are smarter than me and have covered this team much longer than I have said, well, this impacting one guy is not going to change how Pop Douglas does his job or Kayshon Booty does his job. They're going to be able to focus on doing their own job. But I just think that the way that Stephon Diggs is a leader in that wide receiver room, like, you can't just pick and choose when that matters, right? We can't go all season long and start talking about how this was such a great free agent pickup.
Sure.
And how the way that he communicates with the offense, how fired up he is and the speeches he gives before games. We can't decide that, oh, but when those guys need to turn and look inward and not turn to Steph Diggs, they'll be totally fine. They won't look anything like the disaster that it was last year. I just don't think you can pick and choose. But the locker room overall, I can't speak to whether this is going to impact the linebackers, whether even with Barmore's, whether that's going to impact defensive linemen. I can't say that. I just think with that one particular group, it's something worth considering.
Yeah, I also think, too, like, the Barmore thing happened back in August.
Yeah.
So, like, there's
more damning than the Diggs thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Right. The Patriots knew about this. Like, they were prepared for it. They told the NFL exactly when it happened, and so the NFL has been, quote-unquote, dealing with this since August. So it's nothing new to them. I think the Diggs one is far more impactful just for the wide receiver room, like Mego pointed out. I think having a guy like Mac Hollins in that locker room, even though he's hurt, I think helps. But when you're in the games and on the field, that may be you may be lacking that because he is out injured and he's not coming back until the AFC Championship game. So you're at a point right now where you really kind of have to weather the storm. And I think if there's anybody to help them weather this storm, I think it would be Mike Vrabel. I think Vrabel has been relatively consistent this entire season and even now through this point, and their focus is on football. And I think the message coming from the coach and the quarterback in that regard helps.
It's going to be fascinating to see, because I just their culture is going to be tested today. You know, you clinched the division last week. That's a natural kind of reason to, you know, maybe take the foot off the gas pedal a little bit. But then you have these two big distractions throughout the week. On top of the fact you just won the division, and you just wonder psychologically where they'll be. Everything I've seen up to this point leads me to think that they're going to be just fine. But I don't know. They've never had this happen in this season, like, where these types of stories and these types of headlines. So we don't really know if they're equipped to handle it. But from everything we've seen up to this point, I mean, there's enough evidence that would lead you to think that if I had to bet, I would probably bet that they will handle it just fine. I'm curious how they start the game. I really am. I want to see how the first half plays out. But I was listening to interviews all week on the station, and I could hear guys in the background during the interviews hooting and hollering. It just sounded like guys, the spirits were up.
Yep.
And I think Vrabes did everything he could in his press conference when he first was addressed about this topic to really diffuse it and not give it any power. He didn't want questions to be asked that he thought were going to, I don't know, inflame the situation more than maybe what it's been. And so he downplayed it. A lot of people didn't like that strategy.
I think people didn't like the tone.
Yeah. I get it. But
saying I'm not disappointed at all.
That's a strategy,
though.
That's a
choice.
Tone. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so he's... You know, we like to say that when he's talking, he's never talking to just the person that asked the question. He's talking to his team when he's addressing the media. So he clearly wants his team to not let this be a distraction. But it will be to some degree. And you talked about him being the captain of the offense, Mago. I think he's the captain of this team. I don't think he's the captain of just this offense.
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, I do. I don't. I mean, I'd be hard pressed. I mean, you know, Drake is the best player on the team. I don't think he's the captain of the team. I think the guy that really kind of sets the tone from a physical standpoint, how they approach, their mindset is all through Steph Diggs.
Really quick, and Arkan, because I haven't talked to you about this, I would love to hear your perspective. One thing we haven't addressed is how completely differently the team seems to be handling Stephon Diggs' allegations and Christian Barmore's allegations. To your point, the team puts out two statements. Stephon Diggs' statement is, we support Steph. We support Stephon. Barmore's is, we're aware of the situation and we're working with the league.
Right.
And then you see videos that have come out of practice, Stephon Diggs breaking down the huddle. There is a full-throated support of Stephon Diggs. And the Christian Barmore situation, to your point, Chime, this is something they've known about allegedly since August. It just is that part of it feels strange to me.
Do you have any theories on why that might be?
Why they're treating it differently?
No.
Well, I would have to guess that this is just speculating, so it's a dangerous thing to do. I mean, I would just have to guess that they see the situations as somehow different because I thought the tone of the statements were different.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I also think that allegedly, right, Barmore, the woman involved in the Barmore incident, called the Patriots car service.
Yeah, and so, took pictures of her injuries. And
yeah, so like they have, there's more evidence there. The NFL's been investigating. Like, there's an actual incident there. Whereas in the statement, I believe they put out about Stephon Diggs, he said, quote unquote, categorically denies. And so he's coming to them saying, this didn't happen. I swear to you. And they're trusting him. And I think that is, but as Mega pointed out, they're putting their full support and trust and belief in him that he's telling them the truth. And they're kind of running with it.
I also think, and I don't know if I've heard anybody really say it from this angle, but I also think it might have to do with their performances on the field, how one's performing versus the other.
Well, I mean, Barmore...
Hold on. If you think Barmore's had a good year this year, and you think he's worth the money that he's making, I think you're insane.
So I
think he's had a really down year.
I don't necessarily think he's worth the money, but I also think that a lot of the underlying statistics would indicate he creates far more pressure than people give him credit for. It doesn't result in sacks. You're right, and I totally acknowledge
that.
Well,
what does that mean?
What do you mean?
Well, because you're saying like the underlying statistics.
He's high in pressure. I don't know what
QB
that
hit, stuff like
what's
that.
Okay. I'm just asking.
So I think as of like week 16, he was in, I want to say he was around like 18 in terms of like actual like legitimate pressures on the quarterback, like impactful pressures on the quarterback in NFL games among defensive linemen across the league. So yeah, he might be a little overpaid and it might not result in sacks, but he's not, I wouldn't say he has been like super unproductive. Is kind of where
I think it's been a disappointing season for him. And I think that there's a reason he went late in the draft, and you hear stories that maybe there's, you know, that he's, you know, maybe not the easiest guy to work with.
Sure.
I just think add all that in, and there's, I think that can clearly be a reason why the two statements were very different. And so I just think part of it, if he was maybe playing better, I wouldn't be surprised if the statement would be represented a little bit differently than it was.
That's kind of grim. I mean, that's like a grim sentiment that you're giving in terms of the team. Like, the team will just say whatever for the guy who's playing better. Right? I mean, that's kind of what
you're... That's the NFL.
Yeah, I know. You
know how the NFL works,
I do,
don't you?
But the Patriots also fancy themselves as holding themselves to a higher standard, especially when it comes to stuff like this.
I'm telling you, this is an easy way to maybe get out of a contract or start distancing themselves from a player that maybe they want to distance themselves from because of how he's playing on the football
field. Well, on top of that, too, Stephon Diggs technically would be a Mike Vrabel guy because he was brought in under Mike Vrabel. Barmore is not. And as we've seen with other guys that weren't brought in by Mike Vrabel, they're very easy to move on from for this team. So this incident plus that might result in moving on from Barmore.
He's given Barmore chances this year, too. He's gotten suspended before, right? He had to sit out a whole quarter. There was that whole beef they had on the sidelines with the Membu and all that, and him and Vrabel were going back at it. So, yeah, I mean, I think Barmore is probably a difficult guy when it comes to, you know, the area of the team and authority with the coach and sort of all that other stuff. That may be true, but I do think, you know, if he had 12 sacks this year, right? Like, wouldn't it be a different type of different statement? That's what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be different. That's what I'm saying. I just think you guys that are, you know, great players, they get a lot more chances than the guys that
special treatment.
And so that you have to factor that. I just would factor that in a little bit and maybe the statements and how they view the two situations.
Okay. Well, one way or another, both of these guys will have their days in court. Right now, it's allegations. People are innocent until proven guilty, and they do have a game to play today. A game that both of these guys are going to be playing in, too, which, by the way, is kind of weird. I just, with all this going on, I turned on the TV yesterday morning on the Today Show. the Patriots were a top story on national news. And I just, you know, it's been a while since that. You know, the Patriots for years and years and years have been no strangers to controversy. But it did sort of seem like, okay, it's a new day, it's a new regime, it's new this, it's new that. And here we are at the end of what was really a great season. I mean, this has been a tremendous season. And here comes this. Here comes this this topic and this whole thing. And can the team withstand it? Can they continue to play well? What's going to happen to these two guys? I think those are all questions that will be answered now in the next couple of weeks. But as for the game today, they got to finish strong here with a chance to take the top spot in the AFC if the Broncos lose to Kansas City, which I don't think they will. But either way, it's still very much on the table. What did I say?
Kansas City.
Oh, yeah, the Chargers, right. Yeah, not Kansas City. So there we go. Shyam, I know you're excited about the reinforcements that are coming in.
Yeah, I think the good news here for the New England Patriots is you activated two guys that are really going to impact your roster down the stretch in Milton Williams and Will Campbell. Like, these guys are going to be coming back for you here. They're going to be here for the playoff run, which is exactly what you needed. You wanted your left tackle back. Vedarian Lowe has been great in the limited time that he's played. Good job. Appreciate your support. But let's get Will Campbell back in there and get him more experience and playoff experience. And then Milton Williams has been an absolute stalwart for your, you know, run defense the entire season. It was great when he was out there, and it has since plummeted since he has gone away. So he is clearly a big part of that, and getting him back will be great. And that's also not to mention, like, Robert Spillane. Bradfo and I talked to him on Friday. It seems like he's getting better. He was out at practice this week. Like, hopefully he'll be hitting the field soon as well. That foot injury will kind of be behind him. And then, all right, things look a little bit better. You're a little healthier. You're back on track here. You're kind of back at full strength, and you can really put your best foot forward for the playoff run.
You need Milton Williams to stabilize that run defense.
Yeah,
I mean, it has been it's been putrid the last, you know, probably 2 months. So that's what I'm excited about. You know what? And Vedarian Lowe did a nice job, nice job filling in. But he's really just a backup swing tackle is all he is. And you want Will Campbell and all that comes with Will to be out there protecting the blind side of Drake May. And so I love these two guys. I were able to get back the first weeks they were eligible to get back. So those are two big pickups. Now we just need Spillane to get out there and healthy for next week.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they can do. It's not going to be very demonstrative, I think, against the Dolphins with who they're sitting
in
today.
This weather.
Yep. But maybe you can get an idea of, like, is the run defense going to get back on the right track? Because that was kind of the bragging point for your defense early in the season, for the first half of the season, and then until Milton Williams went out. So they got to get that back for the playoffs.
And Mago, that was an utter domination in that Jets game last week, except for the run defense.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that's the one thing that
you saw. You broke what, like a 50-yard run,
dude? I've said it so many times. You guys are probably like, Ted, shut the hell up about this. But it's a bad run defense and a bad red zone defense. Mm. Those are two situations that you cannot be as bad as they are and think you're going to win a championship.
Do you think those are kind of effort situations? Like, that's what I wonder. Like, or focus, maybe the way to say that, because the red zone defense, the run defense, when you think of those things, you're like, okay, sometimes when you have coverage issues, you just don't have the guys on the field for it.
I
think about kind of the way that people equate, like, hey, a good defender in the NBA is a hustler.
It's about effort, right? I get that. But I think it's kind of just you got to love the ones you're with. And those guys that are out there, they're not like grade A, you know, the top of the line players, right?
Jack Gibbons has been fine, but he's not Robert Spillane.
Hey,
right.
And Robert Spillane's talked to him inside the locker room. Put some respect on Dr. Gibby.
I said he was good.
And the outside linebackers have been, they started out really good rushing the passer, but then they've disappeared, and they've never been the greatest run defenders, those edge rushers. So I think it's a lot of it is the edge defenders. And I think they're still a little light other than Milton Williams. I think Barmore's very, very overrated for a run defense.
And Ted, you can vouch for this. Like, when you can stop the run effectively, you force teams to be in pass situations more often. You know they're going to have to throw the football. If you know Josh Allen's going to have to throw the football, you can mix it up. You can mush rush five, keep him in the pocket, force him to try and find a receiver who can't separate, by the way, or you can rush three, or you can blitz. Like, it opens up the defense so much more and allows you to be so much more variable with how you approach the offense. And so... by getting that back, that one element back, being able to effectively stop the run, you allow the defense to just naturally get better. The corners will look better. Everybody by proxy will be better.
Quinn Ewers will be starting today, and he will not have Devon Achane. He will not have Jaylen Waddle. We'll have more on the injuries for the Dolphins and for the Patriots as well, as they're going to be missing some guys, and we barely even got to talk about the incredible performance Drake May had last week against the Jets. We'll get to all of that with your phone calls at 617-779-7937 right after Chris Scheim here. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Your New England Patriots are welcoming in the Miami Dolphins this afternoon. Kickoff is at 4:25. We had two Saturday games yesterday as the Buccaneers held on to beat the Panthers 16-14 in a game marred by rain. Then they now wait for the result of the Falcons-Saints game to see who wins the NFC South. If the Falcons win and beat the Saints, there becomes a three-way tie in the NFC South, and the Carolina Panthers win the tiebreaker. If the Saints were to win the game today against the Falcons, it is simply the Panthers and Bucks tied at 8-9, and the Bucks win that tiebreaker and would win the NFC South. Then the Seahawks beat the Niners 13-3 last night. They become the winners of the NFC West and the number one seed in the NFC. Sam Darnold just a year ago played for the number one seed and lost to the Lions. This year he got his revenge and beat the 49ers, whose offense looked in shambles against that Seahawks defense yesterday. In the 1 o'clock window, Saints at Falcons, Browns at Bengals, Packers at Vikings, Cowboys at Giants, Titans at Jaguars, and Colts at Texans. In the 4 o'clock window, Jets at Bills, Lions at Bears, Chargers at Broncos, Chiefs at Raiders, Cardinals at Rams, and Commanders at Eagles. On Sunday Night Football, we've got the Baltimore Ravens in Pittsburgh taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Pittsburgh Steelers with the AFC North division title on the line. Kickoff for that one is at 8:20, which you can catch the action of the game following the Six Rings postgame show right here on WEEI. In non-football news, the Celtics crushed the Clippers yesterday, 146-115. Jaylen Brown dropped 50, count them, 50 points in the win. They'll welcome in the Bulls to the Garden tomorrow night. And the Bruins beat the Canucks 3-2 in overtime last night. They'll continue the West Coast road trip in Seattle on Tuesday. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Yeah.com.
We're back here. It's Football Sunday, WEEI, our regular season finale program. I know for sure we'll have at least one more show after this. I don't know how many more after that. But we are coming down to the end of the regular season. A couple of games yesterday, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. Neither of which had much to do with the Patriots and what they're going for here, all NFC matchups, but certainly ones that had playoff implications for those teams. There's playoff implications here, of course, for the Patriots, and three possible opponents that they could be taking on here. Those opponents are the Buffalo Bills, the Chargers, and the Houston Texans, and the Patriots could be the number one, the number two, or the number three seed, which I feel like no one's really mentioned. This team could drop here today. That could happen. I don't think it will. It would take a lot. The Patriots would have to lose to the Dolphins and Quinn Ewers, which I don't think they will. And Jacksonville would have to win against who they
the Titans.
The Titans, who suck. But Jacksonville, I think, is probably likely to you know, pump the brakes on that a little bit, even though they're at home, a 12-4 team. Probably the biggest surprise of the year outside of New England, I would say, are those Jacksonville Jaguars. So that could happen. They could move down, and Jacksonville could move up. And what really I think is likely to happen is the Patriots win, Denver wins, or the Patriots lose and Jacksonville loses. That means they're the two seed. That's where they are right now, and that is most likely. Of the three opponents, Ted, Mego, and Scheim, the Bills, the Chargers, and the Texans. Give me one through three, one being the team you least want to see, three being the team you most want to see between those teams. Scheim, let's start with you.
Yeah, for me, this is simple. Least I want to see is the Bills, then the Texans, then the Chargers. I would love to see the Chargers come in to Gillette in cold weather, an L.A. team. Justin Herbert is ridiculously banged up. He's been really good this year overall, but if you think Drake May gets pressured a lot, Justin Herbert gets pressured just as much. He'd make this offensive or this defensive line look like a bunch of Pro Bowlers, to be completely honest with you. And I think with the addition back of Milton Williams and your ability to stop the run of Amarian Hampton and Kamani Vidal, I think you make them one-dimensional, and I think you can beat the Chargers. They're a bit, you know, stingy on defense in terms of points sometimes, but I think that's a defense that you can beat. You saw C.J. Stroud beat them deep two plays in back-to-back series. I think Drake May can do that, but for an entire 60 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm right in lockstep with you with those rankings. I'm just terrified of Josh Allen.
Bingo.
You saw being down, or rather being up with 21-point lead, 21-0, what he can do to you just kind of by his sheer force of will. I'm not going to underrate the Houston defense because it probably is, like, I don't know, I want to say maybe the second best defense in the league right now.
Probably after the Seahawks, yeah.
And okay, so maybe third, because I was thinking Philly,
Denver.
Too.
Philly.
I think, yeah. Denver may be a little
kind
bit
on fraud watch.
Yes, kind of on
Mega,
fraud watch.
Aboard.
Kind of on fraud watch. But all that to say, I agree with you. The Chargers, yeah, everybody loves an L.A. team coming to New England that usually plays in a dome on top of the injuries. L.A. quietly has been a really bad red zone offense. They're actually behind you in red zone offense rankings. They're 27th.
Wow.
So in terms of scoring touchdowns in the red zone, they've only got like a 49% rate of that. So I think they're actually a really good matchup for you and maybe some of your areas, as we were talking about before, Ted, an area of weakness for you in your red zone defense. Just an example of how I would definitely want that matchup.
I would. I'd have it changed a little bit. I'd have Texans as the opponent I'd least likely
I'm with you,
want
Ted.
To see.
I'm with you.
Are you with me?
I
okay.
Am. I'll
and
tell
then,
you why in a
and
second.
And then the Bills and then. And then the Chargers. So, you know, it's mostly because if you look at the Texans' wins, I mean, good for them. They started off 0-3, and to be where they are right now is pretty rare. But they've won their last eight games, and in those last eight games, they have wins over Trevor Lawrence, Josh Allen, Daniel Jones, Patrick Mahomes, and Justin Herbert. That's by far the most quality of quarterbacks of the three teams we're talking about have won. The Chargers have good wins against the Chiefs and the Broncos, but that was way early in the season, and they lost last week to the Texans. And the Bills, look, that team scares me clearly with Josh Allen, but I think we got their number. I think we'd make adjustments based off of what we saw in this last game at home to them. So the Texans, to me, scare the hell out of me because of that defense. So that's the team I do not want to see if I can in this wild card round.
The Houston Texans this year, opponents of the Houston Texans one time scored more than 21 points. Once. Or no, sorry, twice. The Seahawks beat them 27-19, and they beat the Jaguars 36-29. Every single other game, the other team scored 21 points or less.
And that's, I mean, that's ridiculous. Like, that, you just mentioned some of the quarterbacks that they went up against, some of the teams and the players that they went up against. They went up against the Ravens and, you know, the Bills and
that was a
Chargers
Cooper Rush
and all these teams.
Ravens team, to be fair.
Oh, that's true. It was Cooper Rush back then. So, yeah, okay. But, I mean, even still, Derrick Henry was playing, and that team could not score. And I just think that when you look at Houston and the fact that the Patriots haven't played them and there's no real familiarity there, I look at that as an advantage to Houston because I think that defense is just a plug-and-play defense. They're good against everybody. We know the Patriots can handle the Bills, right? I don't know that they're necessarily going to beat them, but I know that they can give them a game. I know that they can, you know, score against that defense. I know that when Josh Allen, for at least a half, they can handle Josh Allen. They've been able to do that in both games that they played. I have no idea what they're going to do against that Houston defense, and that scares me to the point where I'd rather play Buffalo than Houston, but I agree with everybody here that the Chargers is the team I want.
I understand you guys' concern about the Houston Texans. I simply look at it as if you get up 14 points on the Houston Texans, you win the football game. Like, it's just, the offense is that bad. Like, it's, if you watch that Chargers game, a week or so ago now, on Saturday, I think it was, like, it was two explosive plays early in the game, which they clearly identified that the Chargers were weak against, and they ripped them early. The Chargers adjusted after the second one, and the offense was inept for 3.5 quarters. It was brutally bad for that Houston offense, and they haven't been good all year. Like, they've been very unproductive. They're fine in the run game when Woody Marks is out there. When he isn't, they can't run the ball at all. And then CJ Stroud has been a game manager the entire year. That's all he's been. And to his credit, he's been good, and they've beaten good quarterbacks. But I just feel like if you were to be able to manufacture a first quarter 14-point lead, you automatically win the football.
In against a way, that defense, though?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because you just run the football because you know the offense. You play the field position game, right? You don't have to.
Playing field position doesn't mean you're going to be up 14-0, though.
No, I'm saying after, like, if you get up on that team, you play field position game the rest of the game and you win.
That's a big if, is all I'm saying.
True,
and it's
sure.
hard for me to I can't shake last year's game out of my head. I thought they were surgical. Mm. CJ Stroud, I mean, they put 41 on. I know it's a different team, different ecosystem, but and I know CJ Stroud's having a down year, but it is that offense sometimes is hard to watch.
It's
it is
so bad. It's
but
like pulling
as bad as that offense can be at times is how dominant that defense is. I dominant defenses scare me more than dominant offenses.
Yeah.
See, I see it the other way, where it's kind of like a conversations that everybody had after the Bills loss. The Patriots lost to the Bills, which is, do you feel stronger and more confident in your offense or your defense? And I think unequivocally, most of us would say for the Patriots, we feel stronger in the offense. And so I more look at who's a scarier offense that you would face on the other side. Who are you going to have a much tougher time stopping with your defense? And that's why I look at the Bills and I say Josh Allen, like, and Cook as well, because that's basically their whole offense, sprinkle in a tight end here or there. But that's what scares me for the Patriots. And I think you just have to look at your own strengths and say, where are we going to be strong enough to be better than one of these other teams? Where's the major weakness going to be?
They have two dominant rushers. I mean, they have two down linemen that get after the passer. So they don't have to blitz. They don't have to send extra players. They can sit back and play coverage. They have a really good secondary. And sometimes, you know, really good offenses, they run into a buzzsaw and they just can't break the code during the game. And I just think that type of team is the scariest team to me, is that dominant defense like the Texans have.
Here is how all three of these potential outcomes could be achieved. In order to play the Bills, you ready for some math here?
Love it.
Patriots have to win, Broncos have to win, and the Bills have to lose. Or Patriots lose, Broncos win, Bills win, Jaguars win, and the Texans win. It'll be Patriots-Bills. If you want the Chargers, Patriots win today, Bills win, Chargers lose, or Patriots lose, Jaguars win, Bills lose, Chargers win, and the Texans lose. And if you want the Texans, which no one does, Patriots have to lose, Texans have to lose, Bills lose, Chargers lose, and the Jaguars win, then you'll play the Texans.
That's unreal.
There will be a quiz on this.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's nice to know that the Texans seem like the most unlikely opponent.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that, too. And as much as we're all afraid of the Texans' defense, some more than others here, you'd be remiss. I mean, we're an hour and a half into the show, or a half hour into the show, and we haven't even really talked about the fact that Drake May put on one of the best performances I've ever seen a quarterback have against the team. I know it's the Jets. I don't care.
It doesn't matter.
That was unbelievable. And I know that very recently Trevor Lawrence had a 5-touchdown game against the Jets, too. Drake's was better. His was better. It's his second year as opposed to Trevor Lawrence's fourth or fifth or whatever it is. And I don't know. I mean, that to me was kind of the cherry on the sundae of the season. That was remarkable what
he did
in that
game. He had 99.6 QBR, which is the highest ever recorded QBR in a single game in ESPN's database dating back to 2006.
It only goes to 100, right?
Yeah, it only goes to 100.
99.6.
99.6 is as high as it gets. Like, it's just, he was phenomenal in that game.
He's doing things I've never seen a quarterback do. I got mocked a little bit for saying that about 6 weeks ago, but it continues to happen. He's a brilliant player, absolutely brilliant, and I have to tip my cap also to the offensive coordinator because I thought they schemed up a lot of plays. The play to the second and eight play to Efton Chisholm over the middle was a great schemed up play that they knew what the Jets were going to be in. They knew
Efton
what the Jets
Chisholm, interesting.
They knew what they were going to be playing down there in the red zone. So they got Ramondre on an edge rusher who we toasted into the end zone. It was a brilliant game from the game plan standpoint, and then also the quarterback executing it. It was incredible, and there was one pass that Kyle Williams dropped right in between the numbers. So his rating could have been even better, believe it or not.
He had two incompletions. He could have just had one.
Yeah, he could have just had one. There you go.
What's interesting to
me... over 20 attempts too, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like
19
he threw the ball 10 times.
Yeah.
Right?
Looking at today's game then, I'm curious to see what they do with him because now you've got the last two major weapons of the Dolphins out. And so you wonder, okay, are they going to, if he continues to have another day like he had against the Jets, the truly pathetic Jets, do you keep him out there to boost his MVP case, or do you yank him at halftime and say it's not even worth it, yank him, we don't want something stupid to happen here in the third or fourth quarter?
You know the answer to that, Mago. You do not let him play that second half.
No.
If you feel like you have the game in hand, like... Yeah.
Well, if you score 5 touchdowns in the first half like you did against the Jets, right, at 35-3, he already has his 5 touchdowns, and you can sit him on the bench.
Yes.
You're great.
Let's say they have a 14-point lead at halftime. He's sitting?
Yeah, probably.
Like, where do you draw the line is my question.
One-possession game. Like, if it's a one-possession game, he stays in. Outside of that, if it's a two-possession game or better, he's out.
What if it's an 8-point game?
That's
a one possession.
I know. I'm just checking where the line is. I'm just making sure.
It's 9 points or more, he's out.
By the way, you just sort of reminded me. 5 touchdowns, 250-something yards.
251.
2 incompletions in 2.5 quarters. He played 2.5 quarters in that. Imagine if he played the whole game.
Yeah.
It might have been the best game in the history of football. Really remarkable. I thought that was a remarkable performance by him, and the type of thing that I think should have easily solidified his MVP status. We can talk about this a little bit more right now, but
I don't know.
Especially watching the Rams and looking at Matthew Stafford, who's great, by the way. It's not like he's
not
sucked
in that game.
He was not good in that game.
Should have had 2 pick-sixes, not just one.
He's not the best player on that team.
No,
Matthew Stafford's not their best player. How can he be the MVP?
He can't even be MVP of his own team. So how can he be MVP of the league?
Yeah. And my big thing, too, is there has never been, at least since 2000, that was as far back as I looked because that's all that mattered to me, an MVP that finished third in his division at quarterback.
Right.
It only happened twice when they finished second, and it was Peyton Manning in 2008, and then I think technically Steve McNair the year he co-MVP'd with Peyton Manning because they're in the same division. Mm-hmm. Like, so outside of that, the only other time it even happens is when it's running backs, which is not happening this season. It is the quarterback. Matthew Stafford is going to finish third in his division. He's going to be the 6th seed in the NFC.
Right.
We have seen for years now, wins matter for this award and for the quarterback. Drake May simply has a better win percentage and is going to be a better seed in the playoffs.
Doesn't the winning percentage play a big factor?
100%.
So if you're just going to point to touchdowns to interceptions, I mean, they got the same, I think, same amount of interceptions now.
Yes, 8.
So I just think there's so much more to factor in. And I did kind of like, it's going to take me too long to find it, but I did like they do have common opponents that I think
Drake May 6-0, Matthew Stafford, I believe 4-2.
So,
I'll pull it up.
And is in the numbers and metrics in those common opponents games that they both played, I clearly favor Drake May. I think that is another, to me, indicator that it should go to Drake May.
Well, and how about this? He's got legs. Like, yep, Matthew Stafford does not have the same skill set that Drake May does. And you can say, oh, maybe when he was younger, he was in Detroit. Yeah, whatever. Like, I do think that this is going to come down to voters choosing a narrative that they want. And that's why I worry that it's going to be Stafford, because they're going to give him the career achievement and make good for all the years he was in Detroit. I truly think that that's how it's going to play out.
It doesn't help, too, that the Rams are on national TV more. I mean, they play in bigger games.
Definitely.
For prime time. You just haven't seen Drake that much.
But you also expected the Rams to be good this year. You didn't expect the Patriots to be where they are. Ted, you mentioned the common opponents. The six common opponents were Carolina, New Orleans, Tennessee, Tampa Bay, Baltimore, and Atlanta. Drake May, 6-0, 69% completion percentage, nice. 1,495 passing yards, 13 touchdowns, 3 picks, an extra 260 rushing yards and a touchdown. Matthew Stafford, 4-2 record, 71% completion percentage, 1,544 yards, 14 touchdowns, 6 picks, negative 10 rushing yards, no touchdowns. And, oh, by the way, that Baltimore game was a Baltimore game with Cooper Rush,
right?
Not Lamar Jackson. You got half Lamar Jackson, half Snoop Huntley.
I got one more stat I got to throw out there, because I think it's the one aspect of Drake's game that is, I think, the most fascinating to watch is the deep ball accuracy.
Oh my God, Ted!
So he's completing 71% of his passes at 8.9 per, which would be an NFL record if he's able to maintain that through today's game. Like, this guy is deadly accurate going down the field. Like, that is utopia. That is a unicorn. That is the greatest thing you could ever have in a quarterback, is an accurate quarterback that can throw deep like Drake does. And he might break one of the more impressive records to me is completion percentage tied to the average yard per throw.
Like, if you look back at Kurt Warner, greatest show on turf, in 1999, 65% completion percentage at 8.7 yards per attempt. Both numbers are lower than Drake May's. Historically, had one of the easier schedules in NFL history, won the MVP, and also won the Super Bowl that year. Like, I just think that you can't hold the difficulty of the schedule against Drake May, because his numbers are so eye-popping. Like, you look at that, the fact that you can complete passes so far down the field and still at such a high completion percentage means that you are throwing unbelievably accurate balls to your receivers on every single play.
Yeah. The Rams have the Cardinals at 4:25 today, so we'll see both of these. We'll see this race come to an end in the afternoon slate. We'll get to all of that a little bit later on in the show. Coming up next, though, Mego goes inside the locker room. Who'd you talk to, Mego?
Jack Gibbons.
Jack Gibbons. All right. It's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's Football Sunday on
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Get it? With the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
UEEI. Football Sunday here, WEEI, Arkan, Chime Time, Mego, Teddy, all here with you until 1 o'clock. We got all the normal bells and whistles. We'll talk to Tommy Curran at 11:30. Do we have Wiggy Skis today? Probably not, right? I would guess no Wiggy Skis today.
He wasn't in, like, all week.
Vacation week, so yeah, that makes sense. But what we do have right now is Mego, who went inside the locker room this week with
Jack Gibbons, so linebacker who's been picking up some of the workload over the last couple of weeks. Serious guy, focused guy, called Dr. Gibby in the locker room.
Do we know why?
I think because he's like a huge studier, is
okay.
What I've heard.
All right.
Like he's very on top of his stuff.
Gotcha.
But yeah, here's Jack Gibbons.
Inside the locker room with Megan Ottolini.
We just talked to Mike Vrabel and he said that Miami, he sees as kind of where you guys started this thing out. Does this feel like a full circle moment? And what do you remember about that first game down in Miami?
Yeah, it definitely feels like that's kind of where we got going, kind of figured out who we were. I remember it being hot and back and forth, gritty game. Things didn't go perfect, but I just remember us coming together, making the plays when we needed to in all three phases. Offense, defense, special teams all made huge plays in that game down the stretch to find a way to win it. And I feel like we kind of built confidence and momentum from there.
Do you feel like that's the game where you guys learned how to win, like what it takes?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that, like I said, that game, it was kind of back and forth. Things weren't going our way early, and we just kept talking on the sideline, like, stay in it, we'll find a way at the end. And we did, and I think that when you put yourself in those high-pressure situations and make the plays, that builds the confidence that you'll do it again next time.
So obviously, AFC East champions, that's something that was a big goal for you guys at the beginning of the year, really going back to when Mike Vrabel was introduced as the coach. What has it felt like to be able to attain something that you guys set together?
Yeah, it's an awesome feeling for sure to go ahead and to go out and win the division. That's the first time I've ever done that, and some other guys in this locker room too. So we're super excited to do that, but we definitely still feel like there's unfinished business and we've got more goals on the horizon. So it's kind of a moment to say, hey, what we're doing is working, but there's still a lot of work to do and a lot further to go.
Your guys' depth has been tested through these last several weeks with so many different players getting banged up and going on IR. Why do you think you guys have been able to rise to the occasion so well?
Yeah, that's something that I felt since training camp. I feel like we could look around and kind of see that depth was a strength of ours. And we got a lot of guys who played a lot of football and some guys who maybe are younger that have stepped up too. So I think that just goes to show how connected our team is and how committed everybody is to doing things the same way and playing our style of football. It should be able to carry over when we go on the road. If we have a guy go down, just kind of whoever's out there, we all play the same style of football and are trying to do things a certain way. And I think that's done well for us.
When you're thinking about what lies ahead after not even just week 18 but the playoffs, and there are other teams going into week 18 in the AFC who are just trying to get into the playoffs, is that something that's in the back of your mind that you're thinking about? How do you stay focused on just everybody's job here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things, different scenarios of what could play out this week. A lot of it's out of our control. So just have to focus on, one, getting better this week. Like, the teams that are going to win down the stretch are the teams that are improving throughout the season. So it's another opportunity to do that and then just handle business on with our game and then let everything else sort itself out.
Why do you think Vrabel and the rest of this coaching staff have been able to do such a good job with you guys staying focused on the task at hand?
Yeah, I think it's just consistent messaging from the top down, and then we've got a lot of veteran guys in here too that understand what we're trying to chase and are hungry to do that and kind of locked in on where we're going. So I think it's kind of a combination of the team and the coaches and just having the same consistent messaging.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
All right, there you go. That was Mego talking with Jack Gibbons, who has been filling in at linebacker in the absence of Robert Spillane and doing a fine job against some teams that aren't exactly the best teams in the league here or anything like that, but certainly a guy that has stepped up. There's been a couple of guys like that you could say, Durden, some of these other ones, guys who have made impacts there with all of these injuries on the defense over the last couple of weeks, which are persisting a little bit as we come up here. Again, Landry not playing. He's probably your best pass rusher. Kalavon Chasen, I know, has like – one sack or a half a sack to hit a incentive.
Yep.
A lot of incentives here for Diggs, for Hunter Henry, for other guys potentially in this game. So we'll see if any of that plays out, how that all works. You're going against the Dolphins team that does not have their starting quarterback, doesn't have their running back, doesn't have their wide receiver. I look at this game and I think this should be as much of an ass kicking as last week was, right? Like,
you know,
shouldn't
what? They will be checked out. They're up here. It's cold. the season's over. They are scared to death about getting an injury. So they're going to be playing as timid. I mean, I don't know if they're going to play as timid as that Jets defense. I mean, that was unbelievable with the Jets. And it was just funny. I wanted to kind of rip into the Jets effort, but it just wasn't probably the right time in the postgame. And basically, Tom told me that we're not going there. So, okay, all right, Tom, we're not going there. We're going to talk about how great the Patriots were, and they were. But I think Miami is going to be even more checked out than even the Jets were last week. So they should put it on them in today's game like they did the Jets last week.
Yeah, I don't know how checked out Miami will be, just because like, I feel like Mike McDaniel has got more out of this team in the second half of the year than what we guessed after they started like 1-7.
I just remember playing in games that were the last game of the season where you win your sixth game.
Cabo on three. 1, 2, 3,
dude,
Cabo.
You just don't want to get hurt, man.
Yeah.
You don't want to get hurt. And so I'm just telling you the mindset of guys in meaningless games that are the last games of the season.
Yeah, I just think the talent deficiency or the talent discrepancy between New England and Miami is massive. So it should be, in my opinion, very similar to that Jets game. No Achan, no Waddle. I'm not scared of Quinn Ewers. I don't know about you guys. So maybe this defense even gets a couple turnovers. They look kind of good. Drake May gets four touchdowns in the first half. Take him out, and we're good to go. We're
just golden. As long as one of those touchdowns is Efton Chisholm again.
Sure.
I bet you loved Mike Reese this morning.
I read Mike Reese every Sunday.
On Efton Chisholm.
So. Oh, yeah, all about what time he gets into the locker room. Everybody loves Efton. Yeah.
She kicked Chris out of the kitchen. She's like, get out of here. I got to read about Efton Chisholm.
If you had to guess, what does his career look like? NFL career and Patriots career?
Efty?
Yeah.
I'd say, I mean, I could see it being, I'll say like above Gunnar Olszewski's career. Like, I think that it'll be a level above that. But if you think it's going to be Edelman, Amendola-esque, certainly a level below that. Is that fair?
You know, I'm gonna guess it's going to be a level below that, but not by much.
Ooh.
I think he's going to be here for a long time.
So who would be a good comp if we're playing this game?
Gunnar Olszewski's been in the league like 7 years. You think
I know, but he's primarily a special teamer. So I'm talking about actually playing like meaningful wide offense. Receiver snaps.
Boy, I mean, Wayne Krabet played 11 years in the slot. Troy Brown played 16 years. You know, I think
they're not exactly the same player, but would you think he'll have like a similar Patriots career as like Chris Hogan?
Oh, I think he should. I do. He put up ridiculous numbers in college. I know he was played at a smaller school. I get that. But he gets open fast. And the work ethic, and he's a lot – he's small. He is so small, but he's tougher than he looks. He shakes off tackles more than you would think. And I think he's a kind of like a Ladd McConkey type guy in that he knows how to get open. He can use his body.
He understands space.
He understands space. That is Jacoby Myers. Nobody gave Jacoby Myers his due ever. The guy knew how to get open fast. That is a huge asset to have in this league.
Hefty.
I think he's going to have a long career. I do.
Because
that work ethic goes a long way with this coaching staff. It sets a standard and kind of shows everybody, follow this guy. This is who we're, this is who we want to be like. And so I just think he's going to have a long career.
All right. The Chisholm era has begun here in New England. And coming up, the Chris Scheim era of They Said It will continue here. Our week 17, They Said It comes your way right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute. Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall, so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.